Springbok 930 dossier. Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans. I saw the muzzle of Violetta's gun going up to her open mouth. Her eyes were wide, looking at me. Around us, men in drab khaki uniforms closed in, firing an occasional shot over our heads. I was frozen with horror at what I knew Violetta was about to do. And then, as the muzzle went into her mouth, I acted, and the palm of my hand slapped the side of her pistol.
No, Paul!
That's not the way!
Oh, please! Give me the gun back. I don't want them to take me alive.
Don't be too hasty, Violetta. We don't even know who they are.
If you really love me, Paul...
They're firing over our heads. Stand up and raise your hands.
No. Give me my gun.
I'm sorry.
Get down, Paul. At least let them...
There. You see? They stop shooting. Oh. They're staring at me. Get up and stand beside me.
Where are you?
This is madness. They will torture and kill us, I know.
As long as they're not Germans, I can talk my way out of this.
They're closing in.
Leave your weapons where they are. Go.
He speaks Croat.
With a heavy accent. A Russian or a Polish.
Well, come on, do as he says.
Now, you are partisans, da?
Well, we might be. Who are you?
I ask the questions. What partisan group?
We are not partisans.
What else can you be dressed like that, huh?
You're a Russian? The Red Army?
It makes no difference to me whether I take you back dead or alive. If you refuse to answer my questions, it will be dead. For the last time, who are you?
Facing me was big. His ill-fitting uniform was dirty and patched in places. The weapon he pointed at me was a German Schmeisser machine gun. In a flash, it came to me that these men were certainly not Russian paratroopers or even regulars of the Red Army. The big man's eyes narrowed as he waited for my answer.
Well, have you no words to save your life?
I'm Lieutenant Paul Sale of British Military Intelligence, Section MI9.
You can prove this?
It would be difficult.
And the woman?
She's been my guide.
If you are an Englishman, you tell me of your princess, the daughter of your king and queen.
There are two princesses, Elizabeth and Margaret.
Very good. Another question. There is a statue of a famous warrior on the embankment of the Thames. Who is it?
Do I get a prize for the right answer?
Perhaps it will save your life. Now give me the answer, please.
Queen Boadicea riding her chariot. You will also find Cleopatra's needle on the embankment.
That is what I wanted to hear.
And the Houses of Parliament and the Tower of London.
Enough. I take you to Major Ramsden.
You know the Major?
Do you?
Well, he's the man I need to contact. Where is he?
Some kilometers over that way.
Are you satisfied about my identity now?
Da.
Good. Then you will kindly introduce yourself.
Lieutenant Dmitry Akhenov of the Red Army. I and my men were taken prisoner at Odessa. We escaped from the prisoner of war camp just before the SS execution squads arrived. We joined up with Major Ramsden 10 days ago. Safety in numbers.
You can take us to Major Ramsden then?
I will leave some men to guard the entrance of Rajik Pass. The Major's radio was damaged, so he'll be pleased to get news from his superiors.
Violetta leaned against me, relieved and drained by the tension of the previous few minutes. The burly Russian officer shouted some commands to his men. We had our weapons returned and then followed Dmitri Arkhanov down the hill in an easterly direction. Three other Russians accompanied us.
Paul, I don't know what to say except thank you.
How are you feeling now?
Better. A lot better. I accepted death and now I find I am gloriously alive. You can trust these men?
I'm sure of it. Anyway, there isn't any choice, but they seem genuine enough.
What were those strange questions the Russian asked you?
I don't know. Perhaps he's visited London as a tourist. Hey, Lieutenant Arkhanov.
Sir, what is it?
Have you been to London?
Where all you rich men wear top hats, sir. That is what I was taught at school, but the answer is no.
Well, I thought not. But where did you get the questions you asked me?
Major Ramsden taught me. I'm to ask them if I meet a man who claims to be English. The questions for Americans, French, Italians.
It was so simple, even a tourist could have answered them. How far will we have to walk?
4 or 5 kilometers. First, we meet Kovacs partisans. They are stationed 2 kilometers ahead of the main column.
Partisans? Are they from Kamasev?
No. Their leader promised to help the major as far as they pass. Then they will go back to close the road behind the Waffen-SS battalion.
You mean ahead of the Germans?
No. I mean what I say, behind. They will cut off any attempt the Germans might make to contact the battalion.
Well, that doesn't make sense. The battalion commander will be in radio contact with his headquarters.
No, their radio is out of action.
Now, look, I don't understand any of this. Surely it would be better if the road was blocked ahead of the Germans.
Ah, but the major has a truce with the German battalion commander. It is making life easy for us all. But I'm sure Major Ramsden will explain everything to you.
An SS battalion must be at least 6,000 strong. How many are in Major Ramsden's column?
Oh, about 300, including women, children.
And he's made a deal with the Germans? I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, it is strange, but there are good reasons.
Major, this is as far as we can take the lorries.
Yeah, I can see that. Let me see. It's 4:30. I think we call it a day, Vesa. We can spend the night here and move on tomorrow.
Yeah, me.
And get the men to move the lorries under the trees and camouflage them. With a little luck, they will still be serviceable when we come back this way.
The partisans will take them.
Not if they are temporarily disabled and the parts are hidden.
I will place the sentries and send out patrols into the hills.
Within a 2-kilometer radius will be sufficient. Look at that sky, Lieutenant. The clouds are heavy with rain. I think we can expect a thunderstorm.
Yeah, the summer is finished.
A pity. But autumn is also a beautiful time of the year, is it not? The leaves turn brown and fall.
And it gets very cold, Hamayo.
Oh, Reza, I can see you do not have the soul of a poet. Go and post your orders and leave me alone to meditate on the glories of nature.
It's going very slow, Major.
I know, Saunders. The baggage carts are the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it wouldn't be better to abandon them and have everything carried.
Well, the column would move faster.
But then I have to think of the small children. Oh, damn it, yes. We'll abandon the carts when we move off in the morning. You'll have to organize some baggage details.
We're no more than 5 kilometers from the entrance to Rajak Pass, Chief. Wouldn't it be better if we just pressed on until we get there?
I've told you before, Captain Saunders, I'm not one of your Red Indian chiefs.
Oh, sorry about that. It slipped out.
As for your question, I'd prefer not to travel after dark. Dmitri hasn't reported back yet from his patrols of the pass's entrance. Heaven knows what he might have found there. For all we know, a brigade of pouncers is waiting there to pounce on us.
Well, I doubt if they'll send a pouncer brigade to deal with us.
Oh, I didn't believe they'd send a battalion of seasoned Waffen-SS after us either, but they did. No, Captain, I think we'll keep our eyes open for a good place to camp for the night and then press on at first light.
Hey, look, sir. Coming in from the west. Light plane.
Yeah, reconnaissance aircraft. Can't quite make it out. Looks like a Lysander.
Well, anyhow, it's one of ours. He's keeping altitude.
Well, can you blame him with all these ruddy mountains and high hills around us? Yes, RAF markings.
Could have been sent out to check on our position, Major. I mean, it's been 7 days since they heard from us. They're sure to be wondering what's happened.
Damn, I wish I had a wireless transmitter.
He's dipping his wings and... Hey, look, a parachutist.
Well, that's one way to get a message to us.
Yeah.
Come on, Saunders, let's go and receive our visitors and get the latest news.
The parachutist made a good landing on a hillside. Even before he'd discarded his harness, he was surrounded by a large group of men with guns leveled at him. Major Ramsden and his adjutant breathlessly broke through the ring and introduced themselves. The parachutist introduced himself as Colonel James Horton, attached to a Special Intelligence Services unit. He stripped off a black one-piece jumpsuit and stood tall and resplendent in his military uniform. With all due deference to the visitor's rank, Major Ramsden led him down the hill to where the long column of rickety wooden carts and travel-weary people were passing by. The major told his adjutant to order the column to camp. Colonel Horden's eagle eyes took in every detail, yet he said very little. In fact, he was being pointedly evasive about the purpose of his arrival. Major Ramsden began to feel uneasy. When the large tent used as command headquarters had been erected, Ramsden and Horden were left alone.
The orderly will bring us a meal as soon as it's been prepared.
I had a large meal before I left Italy. One never knows if one will survive the flight, you know. The Luftwaffe has been very busy hereabouts, according to our reports.
Now, I can't say we've seen any German planes lately, sir. The last time was over a week ago when our radio was destroyed.
Ah, so that's the reason we haven't heard from you.
Yes.
Blast it. I should have brought a transmitter with me. Your position was reported to us yesterday when some U.S. planes passed over on a bombing mission. They gave the SS chaps behind you a bit of a walloping on the way.
Yes, we heard it in the distance.
When we realized you were so close to Rajak Pass, Colonel Egan decided to send me to put you on the right track. Don't want you bottled up in the pass, do we? A week ago, we sent an intelligence officer to make contact with you, a Lieutenant Sale. Did he arrive?
No, not yet.
Ah, so it's as well I stuck my neck out and flew in to join you. Sale must have been captured or fallen foul of the partisans. They're a damn tricky lot, you know. He was coming to you across country. Landed him on the coast with two guides. Haven't heard a peep since.
Well, why wasn't he flown in like you?
Risky business right now. ME-109's everywhere. It's touch and go if my own pilot will get back. Nice chap, too. Still, it had to be done. The idea was to stop you from taking these people into Rajak Pass. There's no way out, you know. Dead end. The SS will trap you there and cut you to pieces.
I rather suspected as much.
Intelligence made a mistake ordering you here. Damn silly of them.
The only way is to turn north and then west.
Correct. Oh, yes, by the way, I'll be taking command of the show from now on. We'll get the lads all sparked up and give the Nazis a bit of a walloping on the way home, eh?
I think I'd better put you in the picture. Some water with it, sir.
No, thanks. I'll drink it straight. Have you had a set to with the SS yet?
Well, yes, we did have a couple of shows. They got the worst of it, I'm glad to say. My adjutant, Captain Saunders, will show you his reports, of course. Now, about turning north...
Oh, yes. We want you to make for a strip of coast about 15 miles off Dubrovnik.
Excuse me interrupting, sir. There is a problem. I've been told a brigade of Panzers is stationed there, and one of the groups has been ordered to engage us when we're clear of the rocky terrain.
Panzers at Dubrovnik? I didn't know that.
They're standing by as reserves for the Italian campaign.
You seem to know a lot. Are you sure this isn't just a rumor?
Well, sir, you'll understand when I explain everything to you. You see, Major Scheer, who's commanding the SS battalion behind us, he warned me about the Panzers.
What's this, Ramsden? You mean he just trotted along here and warned you, just like that?
But, no, not exactly. I went to see him...
Give me another drink while I digest this.
Something strange happened two nights ago which made us believe that perhaps the war was over. I went to see him under a flag of truce. In a nutshell, I came away with a gentleman's agreement between us. We don't attack him, and he doesn't attack us.
A gentleman's agreement with an SS commander? You astound me, Major. There are no gentlemen in the SS.
Major Scheer is an exception.
Why should he even consider a truce? He's no more than 15 kilometers behind you, with a force that could mop you up in an hour. Phew. I thought you were all oddly relaxed here.
He needs the truce as much as we do.
Look, Ramsden, I think you'd better start this story from the beginning.
Yes, I suppose it must sound rather confusing.
Mind-boggling, old chap. Another brandy, if you don't mind.
The sun had dropped behind the hills when we wearily made our way into the encampment. I was pleasantly surprised to see how well everyone appeared. Several women stared at us as we passed. Their clothes were patched but clean. Children ran in front of us, calling to us in English. Dmitri and his fellow Russians clapped their hands and good-heartedly shooed them away. An assortment of men in makeshift uniform stopped their drilling and looked at us with curiosity. There were tents and wooden carts everywhere. It reminded me of my history lectures about medieval armies on the march. As I was to learn later, that's exactly the way the march to the coast was being conducted. The Russian officer held up a hand close to a large brown tent, and we stood with our escort while he went inside.
Major, I have a surprise for you.
I say, who is this ragged fellow?
Oh, this is Lieutenant Dmitry Arkhanov. He's in charge of a group of Russian escaped prisoners who joined us a couple of weeks back.
A bloody Russian, eh?
Oh, he and his men have done sterling work. Dmitry, this is Colonel Horden of the British Military Intelligence.
Sir?
The Colonel's taking over command. Was there something you wanted to tell me?
We captured a man and a woman at the entrance to the pass. The man claims he's English. He wants to see you.
Did he give a name?
What was it now? Lieutenant Paul Sale.
Ah, excellent. So he's alive and safe. Ah, I could have saved myself an uncomfortable journey. This is the fellow I told you about, Ramsden. Mm.
Tell him to come in. There are no Germans at the pass?
No, Major. I've left 16 men under Sergeant Kerensky to guard the slopes.
Good. Tell this Lieutenant Sale to come inside. The woman, too.
The woman must be one of the guides we sent with him. I say, the fellow looks pretty civilized for a Russian, but can you really trust them?
With my life.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, Ramsden. Why didn't they march east to join up with their own army?
Well, that would have been suicidal for them. The Germans are putting every available man in to stem the advance of the Red Army. In no time, they'd have been recaptured and probably executed.
Ah, so there you are, Lieutenant Sale. So you got here at last.
Yes, good evening, sir.
You were called in. Have a bad trip, did you?
Well, it was hair-raising, sir.
Well, I am Colonel Horden, and this is Major Ramsden, the man who has so cleverly got the column this far.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do?
The woman is Violetta Georgius, and she's guided me here from the Partisan Kerensky's territory.
Good show, young woman.
She speaks no English, I'm afraid.
Oh, rotten luck. Fine-looking girl, I must say. What happened to the guide you brought from Italy?
One was shot in a partisan ambush. The woman Maria, she was... Well, she was executed. It was found that she was working with the Germans, you see.
I say, she was one of our agents.
She admitted everything to me before I... Well, before she was shot. She'd been working for the Germans all along.
Oh, well, war's a tough business. You can never tell with people, especially these Yugoslavs. They either love or hate, nothing in between.
The colonel flew in only 2 hours ago to warn us against going into the pass. That's the message that you were bringing to me.
It would have been better to have flown me in the first place. Only I wouldn't then have met Violetta, of course.
The Americans warned us the skies were black with ME-109s. Didn't see one on the way here, though. Really quite odd.
Yes, sir.
Oh, are you and the girl... Rather close, if you know what I mean.
I suppose I could say yes, sir.
I see. Well, rather irregular. Major Ramsden, I need a detailed report from this officer on his journey as soon as possible. The American fellow who was acting as your adjutant can help him out.
Yes, Captain Saunders will help him. He won't be far away, Sale.
Excuse me, sir. I have a favor to ask, if you don't mind. I haven't had a real sleep in, 5 days now, and I'm completely fagged out, so do you mind if I...
I'm sure you can stay awake long enough to write it, Sale. That will be all. Oh, yes, report to me at 6 in the morning, and I'll outline your future duties.
Yes.
Colonel, I think the lieutenant would be able to present you with a more precise report after he's had some sleep, don't you think? Both he and the woman look dead on their feet to me.
Oh, very well, Sale. But I want the report as soon as feasible. Dismiss.
Yes, sir. And thank you, sir.
Major, shall we get down to some serious business?
Yes, we are.
I brought with me a new ordnance map of the area. Good one. Produced by the Americans with the help of aerial photographs. Until now, this has been a very sparsely populated area, and we had very little information about it.
Yes, I can understand that. I can certainly believe that.
Things haven't changed much in the last 8 centuries... The whole area is crisscrossed by nothing more than goat tracks.
Yes, we've spent the last 3 days traveling along one of them.
Before I left, I planned a route we can take. Now, see here, Major.
Yes?
Less than a mile north of Rudgett lies a valley. It's quite long. Now,
yeah.
let me see. 1, 2, 3. Yes, I should think about 7 miles.
Yeah, I think you're right, yes.
Now, it's fairly flat, fairly wide, and that will take us over to here. A spot of rough country for another mile, and then we come to this valley over here, which runs northwest for, let's see, about 5 miles.
Would you care for a drink, sir?
Oh, yes, please. What a good idea.
Here we are.
Oh, splendid. Now then, as you can see, the hills are lower now. And there's a small road which goes along here.
Yes.
And there we are. We come out onto the coastal plain. Now from there, I should think it's less than 50 miles to the sea. And I have in mind this bay here.
No rendezvous has been arranged yet, has it?
Oh, no. But there are 3 agents living along the coast with shortwave transmitters. When we're close enough to give an ETA, I'll send a message to the nearest one to be relayed to Intelligence HQ.
It'll take 15 days at least to make the journey.
Oh, I'll find a way to jolly us along a bit quicker, Ramson.
Our greatest danger will be here when we break out onto the coastal plain.
Oh, the panzer this Major Scheer warned you of.
Yes, the panzers, but also from Major Scheer himself.
Oh?
Our truce lasts until we make our run for the sea. He can offer no guarantee of being able to maintain it beyond that point.
Now, personally, Ramsden, I think this whole truce is a sham. Can't you see the way his mind is working? He wants you to go into Radic Pass. Then he can seal you up nicely and starve you into surrender. Why else would he warn you of a panzer brigade to the northwest? Really, I don't even believe the panzers exist. What we have to do is keep a close watch on this lot. Avoid letting them within 10 miles of our rear. After tomorrow night, when this sure fellow realizes we're not going into Rudgett Pass, he will turn nasty. Mark my words. Ramsden, it will be our rear we must watch. We must lay mines and ambushes to slow them down.
Well, only if the Germans show signs of aggression.
We are at war with them, Ramsden. The Germans have been showing signs of aggression since day one. Since the 3rd of September 1939.
I don't need to be reminded of that, sir. However, I did give Major Scheer my word of honor.
very damned chivalrous of you, my dear Major Ramsden. However, the days of chivalry are long dead. We will wallop these SS blighters on every possible occasion, starting from tomorrow. Now then, I want you to give me a full list of the men you have, their names, ranks, nationalities, and what duties they are performing at present.
I'll fetch Captain Sanders, sir. He has all the details.
Veil of Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dotman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting and brought to you on Springbok Radio.